So what did you bring?
I brought because heard the class was reading this book, and this with the Great Migration with Isabel. The Ida Mae Gladney in this book is my aunt, my great aunt, and my mom was mentioned in the book, so I just brought it along.
Who's your
teacher? My mom is Kelly Gladney.
Okay.
And she talks about an older brother of her husband who was Willie. It was my grandfather. And his daughter, my mom was an excellent cook. How she had taught her how to make pie crust, to make peach cobbler and sweet potato pie. So I just brought the book along. And then I just had brought an old picture that I had of my mom and my dad.
Can I see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, this was taken on Fifth Street. Shortly, probably about within a year or two at the time when they, you know, we came to Beloit on Fifth Street. That picture is it. That was all that I brought.
That's
didn't
just
have too
fine.
Much. Right.
This is really cool. So can I grab the pictures out again?
You certainly can.
Thank you so much. Are you bookmarking this page?
No. Okay. I had just stuck it, so I kind of knew where it was.
I hate it when people lose my bookmarks.
Right.
So these are both your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were both of these pictures taken in Beloit?
Yes.
Cool.
On Fifth Street.
Right, you said that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So awkward to do an interview and have to write at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, that's quite all right.
And then
that's,
who's
that's who a picture of my dad.
Okay. And these were both taken on Fifth Street as well?
Mm-hmm. I had a picture in here of Isabel. Drop it out. Because she spent once during her interview. She came, she attended all of, like, our family reunions.
Oh, that's so nice.
And this, I believe it was in 2011, and we had the family reunion. It was in Dallas, Texas, and she was there. So this was just a picture. That's my daughter, and Linda, that's me, and that's Isabel. And this is Linda's husband. I just brought that along. In fact, I didn't get a chance to talk with my daughter. She said she was going to try to email Isabel today to tell her about what was happening around
this. Oh, that
is
so cool.
If we get a response from her, I'll make sure I get that to you. So I said she may be interesting just to know that.
Yeah.
Interested in knowing that.
Yeah. So when did your family move?
Well, our pattern probably was like most African American. We came, I think my dad, if I remember correctly, I could be off a year or two. 1946, the man so often was the first one to come this way. We had an aunt, his sister, lived here in Beloit. And she had married, her husband was in the service and was stationed in Mississippi and had met her. She got married and she came, so my dad, who was older, he comes from a family of nine. He came first, which was kind of typical for people who migrated. Get a location, get a job, and then send back for the family. And so probably a year later, 1947, my mom and I came. I was one of three girls. My parents had three girls. I'm the youngest, so they never left the baby at home, as they call it, you know.
Yeah.
So we came by train to Beloit to join him about a year later, and they left my two older sisters in Mississippi until could get location for the family and that, until for a year with his sisters. So they stayed longer mm-hmm. in Mississippi before it came, and then the following year they had come. But that was our trip here to how we ended up in Beloit.
How old were you?
9.
Oh, wow. So do you remember the trip?
I don't remember the trip other than I know we came by train. Okay. There wasn't anything about that trip. But I remember trips going back and forth south. Mm. Actually, I hated Mississippi.
Really?
I just hated it. Mm-hmm. I think because of the treatment.
Yeah.
That for years, I just denied I was even born in Mississippi. It wasn't a place to be proud of.
Yeah.
And so one of the things, my dad worked when he came, he did 40 plus years at Beloit Corporation. And I had uncles who later followed that, you know, kind of the pattern, good situation to uncles. And they worked at Fairbanks. And Fairbanks and Beloit Corporation did their vacation the same time. They would do it following the 4th of July weekend. And every summer, the town would just, Beloit, kind of become deserted because everybody went home was the way people referred to
yeah.
it then. Went home, went south. So the roads between here, 51 was just loaded with people going, and they would trail
yeah.
each other, my two uncles and my dad, because then it was just danger. You never knew
mm-hmm.
what could happen to you between Beloit and Mississippi. And
yeah.
it was one of those things I can remember it so vividly. Like I said, I even hated to come because the magic line was the Mason-Dixie line.
Mm-hmm.
And that was even real as a little girl. And I think that was my reason for hating Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything about me had to change. The way you talked, the way you answered, the way you replied, because you had to, yes ma'am, yes sir, to every white person, whether the child was a year old or whether the child was 15 or 18, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, that's so true within that, where they talk about when we traveled, we couldn't stop at restaurants or gas stations or anything like to eat, so
yeah.
it was always packing up lunches for you to eat en route. And usually
yeah.
they would have to take some kind of container in case if you had to use the bathroom.
Oh.
So it was all of those kinds of things
yeah.
that I just hated.
Yeah.
That I was, as a youngster, I loved to talk. And so they would sort of, every time we would get close to crossing that line, they would say, well, maybe you shouldn't talk anymore. And they protected us so that they wouldn't let us go inside the store
mm-hmm.
alone or even inside the store, because they would have a way of picking at you. That's what we call picking at you, just to try to get you to slip up and say something or not say yes ma'am, yes
yeah.
sir. And anything could happen in regards to that. So we did that every summer.
Yeah.
That was the trend, and that's why I just hate it. We were fortunately enough as a family, I don't ever remember where we lived on a plantation. We were fortunate enough
yeah.
that our grandparents had their own land, and so we were not on plantation with, you know, any other. We were in, so when we would go south, we were pretty much, it was all of the cousins and, you know, the family, the one live across the road
mm-hmm.
or up the street. And we had our own little area in which we pretty much stayed. So.
Did you enjoy seeing your cousins, even though you didn't like being in Mississippi? Or
I love that.
Yeah.
That was the highlight. In fact, one of the tradition I say to my kids and grandkids, I really grew up as a tomboy because our parents were very firm in saying you had to play with your age mate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my age mates happened to be boys. And so I looked forward to going, because what they did, I did. Ride horseback.
Oh, yeah.
Jump rabbits, you probably read into that, where they had a thing, how they would hunt for rabbits. You would take little sticks and chisel it off to make a point, and you go in the woods, and then you would, I loved all the things, so I was really, I brought her as a tomboy. And that stayed with me until I was probably a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, that was the heartbreak. My older sister said when I went to high school, I think Barb is a little too big to continue to play with boys, because I was playing football and everything else with all the guys, with the boys. And so that just broke my heart when I couldn't do that anymore. So
How old were your sisters when you moved? How much older are they?
About a year, 6 months between all of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You and six, my next sister, Frances, is very ill right now. And then my oldest sister, and we used to tease all the time. I didn't bring her. I used to say to my mom, it's a good thing you never had another kid, because we kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But little chubbies, I said. So that was kind of an interesting, but it was a year, 6 months. My mom was very young probably at the time. She got married at 15, very young. And so when she came to Blois, she actually still grew. She was married, and all of us had been born.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she used to get, when she first came to Blois, they didn't make shoes small enough for her. And so the display cases, how they had their showcase, she would have to get her shoes out of those in order to get shoes to fit her. Feet were so small.
Were most of the other black families who went home from Mississippi?
Yes.
Most people were from Mississippi?
Most people. That's why I said the road would go up and down.
Right.
Everyone knew the pattern that they had their location, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You had to figure out, we're going to stop here to gas up. You found out the places that you thought would be pretty safe along the route. And so sometimes you pull up, and it was like a little reunion. You pull up because this person, that person was from Beloit, who, you know, was come.
Like
know,
a field trip.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, that's exactly. So all of those kinds of things were fond memories. But I, you know, even growing up here in Beloit, you know, one of the things I found out, I faced a lot of prejudice even living here in Beloit. Because,
say,
The real difference that I found, I used to always say, in the South you knew, you know, because the ground was there. We were never, my parents never, even when we would visit the South, pretty much, you know, from the country, they wouldn't let us go into town. You know, I remember the fountains and that with color bathrooms and streets and how you had to get all of those kinds of things I lived through.
Do you want to talk about the experience of racism that you had in Beloit as well?
Well, sure, I can feel happy. Well, I graduated from Beloit Memorial High School. When I left, graduated from high school, which was in 1956, we couldn't go into restaurants to eat. The only job that I could get was cleaning houses. I mean, you could not be a cashier, work at McDonald's, or none of those kinds of things. So I lived through all of that. I can remember my dad worked at the corporation, and they used to give scholarships to employees, kids. And I told them, I can still remember this as if it happened yesterday. I had applied. I was a very good student. Probably graduated top 15% of my class at Lord Memorial. And I had applied for a scholarship. And of course, I didn't get it. And I knew it was strictly because of the color of my skin rather than anything. It wasn't the grade.
Right.
The person that they gave the scholarship to didn't have highest grade point as I did. And the thing, I guess they failed to realize that I would know that. I guess. You know, if you're in school, you know who the top students and all of that. You're well aware of that. They offered me a pen. I told them I sent it back to them. I told them they needed it worse than me. I didn't even accept it.
Oh, man.
But those were the things, you know, that I faced as a youngster. The racism right here in my own soul.
Yeah.
When I left to go to... I went to University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. That's where I did my undergraduate work because I knew of a couple of young boys from Bloor who had gone there, wanted to go to college, didn't quite know, and I didn't want to get too far. I think I mentioned to you, you know, I was the youngest, the baby of the family, so I never left too far from my mom, to tell you the truth. In fact, when I went to college, I was teasing to get used to being away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Chicago and spent a week with cousins over in Chicago just to get the thought of being away from my mom for a week. A lot of people thought, you know, the perception, because I was the youngest, I would never make it away in Stevens Point. But that was the kind of thing, a different world, that I did make it and graduated, you know, from that. And then that was the same kinds of things. I wanted to be a teacher and knew the possibilities. So I went through all of that humiliation of people interviewing, being dishonest with you instead of saying up front they weren't hiring any blacks. There were some people when it got to my senior year and I was interviewing for jobs, that was the kind of thing that had taken place. Some school systems were honest and said, well, we don't have it high, but we're looking for more, but they had to be twice as good. I heard that so often whenever job. I couldn't be average when I was coming up. You had to be twice as good.
They really, said that?
Yes, they did. Oh, they said that to you. So, you know, it's those kinds of things you never forget.
Yeah.
So that's how that had gone.
Yeah. So did you end up teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Here?
Here. In fact, I still work. I've done 50-plus years with the school district of Bolero.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I came back to Beloit. They were recruiting back then. They've sent people out to recruit in Stevens Point. And had offered me a job, but my supervisor had wanted me to have the experience of interviewing, you know, with other districts just for that experience. I went off to college. My desire was to be a third grade teacher. That's what I wanted to be. And so I did get it and I accepted the job back to Bloor. I did go through interviews. I just went for the experience. And that was when they had mentioned, you know, you got to be twice as good. Some of them, they're looking for more. Not average, twice as good.
Oh,
and that stuck with me for years, that, you know, whenever I do anything, that's still part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to do better than just average.
Yeah.
I got to do it twice as well. But I taught for 7 years in the district. Then I became the director of the Title I program for the district. My last 32 years or so, I served as elementary principal, retired in 2002, and the superintendent called me in 2004. They were transferring a person from central office to become an elementary principal and asked if I would come back and finish out the year. And I did 4 more years as the administrator for equity for the school district. I was principal at Burge, Waterman, and Merrill Elementary Schools, plus I did two schools. One year I was principal at Burge and Converse Elementary School. Are you from Beloit?
No, I'm from Chicago.
Oh, you're from?
Yeah, I took a teaching class and I shadowed at Merrill.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
That's the one I'm familiar with.
Right, that's my, that was my first. Well, no, I did a little interim period when I was in central office at Wright Elementary School. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And so now, I still, after that, work right now. I serve as a mentor to new administrators, and I'm at Cunningham Intermediate School right now, working with the two new administrators, the principal and the assistant principal there. So I'm still working for the district. Most people say they don't think I will ever officially retire. Still working.
Yeah, my grandparents are the same way.
Same way, right.
Yeah, they retire and then they immediately take a new job. Yeah. So at what point, or if it didn't, like, say that, but at what point do you think that things in Beloit really started to change in regards to, like, racial equity?
Well, probably a little bit after I had gone off to college and back, because, like I said, I couldn't go into a restaurant and sit down and eat when I left here in 56. So I would say it would have been late that our 60s that, you know, things probably started to change as far as job. My dad worked there. My mom, for years, she worked at a Chinese laundry. That's what she had done, you know, for a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me where your dad worked again?
Beloit Corporation.
Is that, what is that? I don't think I'm familiar.
Machinery, they used to make, that's where, downtown where they have all of that with the new Y.
Uh-huh,
that's
yeah.
That's where the corporation was located, yeah.
Okay. So was he a factory worker?
Oh, yes, they all were. In the foundry. When he came home, you wouldn't recognize him. Mm. I mean, you know, because of the smoke and soot and the clothes just filthy. Mm. In fact, I can remember my mom, we had this old Ringer washing machine. She kept for years because that's where she would wash his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in the worst of that. And then, like, for heat, I remember him getting burnt at the corporation very badly one time because, like many times, right along the Rock River, and they would have things to do, and he was out there, and they were burning, like, a fire in a big barrel to kind of stay warm a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got burnt somehow, the flames or something one day, and got real burnt very badly on his hand at one point.
Was he still able to work? Or?
Yes, he was able to work.
Was there workers' compensation in those days for injuries like that? Or
they kids were not, you know, those were adult business.
That's
the way my parents, I mean, you know.
You weren't nosy?
Oh, no, they wouldn't have told me anyhow. That's not your business to
worry
about.
That's fair.
But really, growing up, adults, they really separated that from kids. I look at kids now, they just sit in on conversation, just part of it.
Yeah.
That would never happen in my day. Kids were not allowed to participate, and that they would have looked at it to say, that's not your worry. There's nothing you can do about it, and they would not. They tried very hard to shield you and to protect you from so much.
Yeah.
You know, the bad things of life.
Yeah.
You know, very protective.
Yeah. Did you have kids here in Beloit?
I have two daughters. I had two daughters. 3 years ago, my oldest daughter died.
I'm sorry.
She had an enlarged heart. And just overnight, it was just something we weren't prepared for in regards. And then my youngest daughter, she works at Black Hawk as a technical school.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I have four grandchildren and one great granddaughter who lives in Janesville.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I should, sorry.
No. Quite like right, I'm trying to nibble this.
Oh, yeah, now. You eat. I got totally sidetracked from the thing I was supposed to be filling out.
Well, if you need to ask some more questions, you should. You can.
I'm good. As soon as I think of them, I will. So the date of these photographs, is that the same year that they...
50s? I don't think I looked on here. Of course, I couldn't see unless it was stamped on the back.
Yeah.
My guess would be it was early 50s.
Okay.
But the picture I took, because it was kind of interesting. That was what my granddaughter looked at. And she said, is that grandfather? Because, you know, with the clothes, it was just interesting to mm-hmm. see. And that was something they always did. There were a lot of pride and on Sundays, mm-hmm. and my guess would be, without even knowing the date, the picture was probably taken on a Sunday, because that was pretty tradition with us. You dress pretty fancy on Sunday to go to church. Mm-hmm. That was about our entertainment.
I'm gonna do a short physical description of the object.
Go right through, and if you need clarification on anything, just ask.
Uh-huh. What was your mother's name again?
Callie. C-A-L-L-I-E. And they called it all of Callie Mae.
Callie Mae. All right. Mm-hmm. And then her maiden name was Gladney, right?
Right.
Okay. What was your father's name?
Paul Williams.
And then what's that bottom picture?
Oh, that's just a picture I've been involved with. Check, I pulled this out of a scrapbook. We used to run a golf tournament. I was part of the OIC Auxiliary, and as a fundraiser, so that's at a golf event. We would have a weekend of golfing and then have the party and hand out the trophies and awards at the end of the day. I've been very active in the community.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Very active. So who is in that picture? Is it you?
No, that's not me.
Oh, no. Do you know who's in that picture? It's okay if you don't.
We'll just see. Can't see like I used to see. Let's see if I can make out. We had a... I'm not for sure who that is. I know this is Seal Smith sitting here. And that's Williamson. His last name is Williamson. I'm not for sure who the lady. It looked like a Davis, but I'm not for sure. Can't say for sure.
So she's been sitting working there. Oh, okay. She has her back.
These two here, that's just my dad. I didn't look, I was gonna pull it out to see. They usually is on the front, but you know, they don't take pictures like you used to. Everybody with the selfies and the cameras and dates. I don't know if there's a date. I'll just pull this back.
Do be careful though. It might be stuck.
Yeah, I think
old photographs stuck. Like that can
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are ready to scan. Is there another picture, or is this these five?
If you like that, you can. I just saw from the interest of the class.
What is your daughter's name again? I'm sorry.
Linda.
Linda. And same last name as you? Hickman?
Fair.
Fair.
F-A-I-R. Linda Fair. And that's her husband, Andre. Isabel and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Eleanor, Aunt Ida's daughter. Let's talk about Ida. Hi.
We're taking some pictures for Boy College Magazine of okay. this event. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
You okay with that? Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. As long as I look okay.
Well, your hair, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's get these scanned. Gonna stop the
honors of being first. My birthday just coincidentally is January 1st, and I'm the first African American female to graduate from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point.
Congratulations!
And that just give you some kind of, that was in 1960, just to put in perspective. And the first African American administrator for the school district of Beloit.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That is an accomplishment.
Yes. At the time I was doing it, I never knew either one was, you know, I was just as surprised as everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think so. But I'm still here. You know, it's been good. You know, there you just learn to adjust with life, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know why your parents decided to move north?
I'm sure better opportunities, they thought, you know, my aunt. Most people left the field because, you know, up north, you figure you could make more money, which you probably could than mm-hmm. what they were doing. So that was not one of the conversations, like I said. They were very protective. That's just the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
The struggles they were. They would never carry on a conversation like that around their kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. even if they may have been truly disgusted or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the kind of thing that I mentioned, I think, helped with, like, treatment, was because we were all in our own little community, the Williams family.
Yeah.
It was aunts and uncles and... And they just kept us away from the places where you face, you know, it's like, we couldn't go in stores and dress. You couldn't, parents had to guess at your foot size. You couldn't go in and try on shoes. I mean, just little basic things like that, that just kind of blow your mind in regards to it.
Unless you have...
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Else.
I was supposed to at the beginning of this say my name and where we are and your name, so I'll say it now because it's the end. This is Rose Johnson interviewing. Say your name.
Barbara Hickman.
Barbara Hickman. And we are doing this for the Beloit College History Harvest, and it is 2:40.